Greetings, gentle listeners. Thank you for joining us on Metro here this afternoon. This is Dave Ashton. I am presenting this afternoon a community action being taken as nonprofit housing providers in East Colfax unite to announce a moratorium on evictions in response to COVID-19 on Tuesday, March 24th. Hope Communities and Rocky Mountain Communities, two of the largest nonprofit housing providers in East Colfax, Denver, joined together with the East Colfax Neighborhood Association and the East Colfax Community Collective to announce the creation of the East Colfax Nonprofit Renter Relief Platform to provide an immediate moratorium on evictions for the residents of these East Colfax nonprofit apartment complexes and to stabilize the housing of hundreds of East Colfax families. East Colfax Neighborhood Advocates joined forces with nonprofit housing providers last week to discuss the potential actions that the community could take to protect residents at risk of displacement, and the nonprofit eviction moratorium being launched Tuesday grew out of these collaborative efforts. We will hear the voices first of Brendan Green, co-founder of East Colfax Community Initiative, followed by Dante Lotson, CEO of Rocky Mountain Communities, and Sharon Knight, CEO of Hope Communities.
So good morning, everybody. My name is Brendan Green, and I'm a board member of the East Colfax Neighborhood Association and a co-founder of the East Colfax Community Collective. We are here to celebrate the launching of the East Colfax Nonprofit Renter Relief Platform that will institute a moratorium on evictions for two of our neighborhood's most important nonprofit housing providers, Hope Communities and Rocky Mountain Communities. Hidden Brook Apartments and Garden Court Apartments combined have a total of 430 apartments and house roughly 10% of East Colfax's population of 11,256 residents. The role these providers play in providing low-income housing to hundreds of East Colfax families becomes that much more important and urgent with the mass unemployment that is hitting our neighborhood. Cascading closures of businesses happening throughout the city and the recent stay-at-home order issued yesterday, the economic consequences for East Colfax working families are hitting our community hard. However, we believe that at this time of community crisis, it is an opportunity for community solidarity and perseverance. A week ago, the Board of Directors of the East Colfax Neighborhood Association initiated a conversation about what we could do at the neighborhood level to stop evictions absent action at the city and state level mandating an eviction freeze. We decided to reach out to East Colfax nonprofit housing providers and propose that we work together to create a package of relief for renters that could be an example for other parts of the city. Both Rocky Mountain Communities and Hope Communities were immediate willing partners in this collaboration, and together over the past week, our East Colfax nonprofit renter relief platform was formed. As of today, Rocky Mountain Communities and Hope Communities are providing the example of true leadership by being some of the first housing providers to voluntarily adopt a series of protections to ensure they keep their residents housed in the midst of this crisis. Through this platform, Rocky Mountain Communities and Hope are agreeing that, number one, evictions are the start of the eviction process for lack of full or partial rent for people affected by the virus will not be initiated during this period. Number two, they will not initiate legal notices for non-payment of rent during the crisis period for people affected by the virus. Number three, they will not charge late fees during this period for people affected by the virus. And number four, people affected by the virus will not see an increase in rent during the crisis period unless housing providers are legally required to make that happen. We applaud Rocky Mountain Community and Hope Community's leadership and call on other providers to follow this example. I will now pass the word to Dante Lotson, CEO of Rocky Mountain Communities, to share his perspective as to why RMC has decided to lead on this critical issue in this time of crisis.
Thank you, Brendan, and thanks to everyone on the call. Rocky Mountain Community's mission is to build brighter futures by investing in resident-focused affordable housing and services that's empowering individuals and families to thrive. We also believe that strong communities are composed of individuals and families who are supported and empowered to thrive. that's related to our mission. For over 26 years now, our Rocky Mountain Communities has leveraged resources and partnerships to invest in resident-focused affordable housing solutions across Colorado. We currently develop, own, and manage housing communities where we also offer services and programming that promote youth success, adult self-sufficiency, and other vital services and programming that promote the self-sufficiency and early independence. In doing so, we strengthen the fabric of our state and everyone, and now and for generations to come. And we currently serve over 1,100 families in 8 locations around the state. And so as it relates to Garden Court and having a conversation with Brendan, as he mentioned, we thought that it was the right thing to do, given Garden Court and some of what's going on right now in the community. Garden Court boasts one of the largest resident services programs that we have, utilizing the community room every day of the week. And some of the programs, such as the food pantry and the sharing table, community events, like the community-wide holiday open house. We offer youth programming that includes after-school homework help, as well as senior activities to encourage folks to be able to age in place. And much like we will hear from the CEO of Hope, our community at Garden Court, it's a very large immigrant and refugee population, roughly 80%. And we suspect that there's anywhere between 30 to 40 different languages spoken. So we can have these programs, but none of these things matter if our residents are suffering. So for us, we thought that it made a lot of sense to get behind this, as we recognize that the majority of our folks are in the services industry. And this is not only impacting those groups, but it's impacting all of us to some extent. And we're hearing these stories every day, and we know that that impact is even greater for the families that we serve. Those are my thoughts from Rocky Mountain Communities. And at this point, I'll turn it back over to Brendan.
Thank you, Dante. I'll pass the word over to Sharon Knight, CEO of Hope Communities. Take it away, Sharon.
Hi. Hope Communities is a nonprofit that has worked hard for over 40 years to prevent displacement and to keep families safely housed. We've really stayed true to our commitment to strengthen communities and provide pathways to economic and personal opportunity through affordable housing, educational programs, and support services. And really, there's never been a more important time for that than today. We know that hundreds of families that we serve across Hope Properties will suffer significant hardship through this pandemic. They're already experiencing food insecurity, insufficient funds for rent, medicine, and essential services, and like many other people across the city, they're afraid. At our East Colfax property, 75% of the refugees, similar to Rocky Mountain, are refugees and recent immigrants, and they speak multiple languages. Hope Communities Hiddenbrook site is a community hub for programs and services, and we provide services for residents, but also the broader community. In fact, about 25% of the people we serve come from the neighborhood and from all over the city to seek training and resources. This and the fact that Hope has always put a strong emphasis on building community makes working in collaboration with the East Colfax partner agencies an imperative for us. We believe that we can be most successful in sharing important information about the pandemic, encouraging resiliency, and keeping our community strong by utilizing staff who engage residents and finding solutions for themselves and for their neighborhood. We are very proud of the fact that many Hope residents have volunteered their time and expertise and insights to help the East Colfax Community Collective in addressing issues in our neighborhood, including COVID-19. We also believe, particularly when working with clients who come from around the world, that the impact of our work will be more accomplished more fully with staff who truly respect the opinion of the people living in our communities and who come to the work with cultural and linguistic competencies. We are so grateful for the city's Department of Housing Stability, who has supplied information on housing resources in multiple languages, and to the Denver Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs, who's also sent flyers with procedures to stop the spread of the virus in many different languages. HOPE has also translated information to help our residents through this crisis, and program staff dedicated to that site speak common languages of the area, English, Burmese, Arabic, and Somali, and they and other contract navigators will help our clients through the many challenges that are being presented right now. Because it's unique in affordable housing, I think it's important to note that HOPE communities and Rocky Mountain communities, East Colfax properties, serve very few residents with subsidized housing. That means that they are paying rent independently, and the full burden of that rent will be felt by those families without any offsetting support from the government. Many of them work in industries that are closing their doors right now, and it will be absolutely essential that they get some support for rent during the next several months. We are appealing to the Office of Housing Stability, philanthropic organizations, and generous individuals in our community to help these hardworking and resilient people to stay housed and to keep the life-sustaining resources that they need to make it through this crisis. Our residents have been investing their time and their efforts to strengthen the East Colfax neighborhood, and we hope that the community will in turn provide a helping hand to them so that they can go back to supporting our efforts to build an even more vibrant neighborhood and city once this crisis subsides.
Thank you, Sharon. So this collective of neighborhood advocates and nonprofit housing partners is fully invested in doing everything we can to stop the displacement of East Colfax families in the face of the COVID-19 virus. At this moment, the last thing our neighborhood families should be concerned about is that missing work could lead them to lose their home. By doing a temporary suspension of evictions, Rocky Mountain communities and HOPE communities are allowing their residents to focus on their families, supporting them and connecting to resources to help them to cover their rent, and lowering the risk of spreading the virus at these critical apartment complexes. The action taken today by Rocky Mountain communities and HOPE communities is a prime example of the leadership we need to see in this moment of crisis in our community. Relief efforts for COVID-19 across the board must account for historic inequities and target resources to those who are most in need. We call on others to follow the leadership of HOPE communities and Rocky Mountain communities, and call on funders in the world of philanthropy to direct critical resources to these efforts. We need foundations to be the backstop to the nonprofit housing providers who are the backbone of our community. We are proud that East Colfax is providing the example and are hopeful that this announcement will help lead to statewide action requiring a moratorium on evictions across the board. We thank you all for being with us today, and we'll open it up for questions now.
This is Dave from KGNU. Can you expand a little bit more about how stemming evictions during the crisis time, how can this example be spread more widely? Like, is it not likely to see a real upswing in evictions if there are not local and state actions taken?
I can speak for the East Colfax Community Collective on that point. I mean, I think our hope, you know, we see these housing providers as being really the trenches in this fight right now. You know, this is where the highest concentration of our communities live. It's where many of the people with the lowest incomes in our communities live. And so, you know, we as a community and as a government, as nonprofit, as foundations, if we don't get the back of these housing providers in this moment, you know, there is a lot higher risk of complications, and this is the community that's going to face the most challenges with being out of work. And so we see it sort of as ground zero, and that's why the actions taken by Rocky Mountain and HOPE are so promising. because this is the kind of leadership that we need to see. But it shouldn't be on them, and we do hope that that there will be a statewide action mandating a moratorium on evictions, and are hopeful that this step that we're taking today can provide the example that can help lead to a more decisive action at the state level.
It seems more than ironic that while people are being ordered to stay home and not be able to go to work, that someone else could then be paid to go to their job to put those people on the curb. I mean, shouldn't evictors be kept home under the non-essential function?
Well, people who run nonprofit housing agencies and who offer services that we do are considered essential businesses. So probably those people would be going to work. But, and I also think that for the most part, people don't want to initiate evictions. Sometimes that does happen. So I think that especially nonprofits or housing authorities are going to be doing everything that they can to keep people stably housed. But to actually make a statement and a commitment like this is a little bit different than we've seen.
And just to mention, you know, there has been directives coming out of the city of Denver that sheriff's departments will not be enforcing evictions. But the amazing step that Hope and Rocky Mountain is taking today is that if providers are still processing evictions, it can have long-term implications for people's credit, for people's ability to get future housing. And so we feel like we need to see this in a holistic way and not just stop the sheriffs from enforcing them, but stop them on the front end. And that's why the example that Hope and Rocky Mountain are providing right now is such a positive example of leadership that we need to see in our community.
How will this message then get out to other housing providers on East Colfax that may not be nonprofit?
Yeah, thank you. We will definitely be engaging with other people in our community, reaching out to them and sharing this model. And are hopeful, you know, that other people will follow this leadership. And so we will definitely be having those conversations. I think everybody is grappling with how to react in this moment. And the more that the government and philanthropy can get behind efforts like this and be the backstop to these housing organizations, the more incentives we're giving for people to take this kind of a step. And so this is really a call to action to government resources, to philanthropy, to help shore up these apartment complexes so that they aren't taking a loss, and really see that as a priority for investment in this moment of crisis.
For the immigrant and refugee communities, those most at risk and living closest to the edge, as you say, at ground zero, what are some of the other factors impacting these communities if they were to be destabilized in housing?
I think one thing that the population, that it would be unique to the population. Well, I mean, partly unique, but I think has a different impact on them is the different messages, conflicting messages that we're hearing on the national level. And so if people are concerned, and people have been concerned even prior to this, to reach out for assistance, and if people are evicted and displaced, they may become even more unlikely to reach out for assistance. That's just one of the many ways that they can be impacted.
You know, I can just speak to the challenges. We're used to consistently, like, interfacing and meeting and coordinating, you know, activities. I know that Hope and Rocky Mountain communities both offer programming where they're sharing information with interpretation at these complexes. And so I know that as the community collective, one of the things we're really struggling with is how to get that information out without the ability to be able to meet in person. And so we're in the process of trying to schedule a series of conference calls with the different language groups this week, where we can get an interpreter and have those in-person connections with these different groups. And so, you know, that just programming aspect is something that's definitely been disrupted, and that we're all having to adjust to figure out how to have this information be distributed in multiple languages. You know, when we used to be able to do it in one meeting. Now we're having to figure out ways to do it in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 meetings. And that obviously is a challenge. And so we're adjusting. We're trying to figure out how to make those shifts happen. And, you know, we're going to figure it out, but it's a big challenge to figure out the language barriers.
And at Hope, we're calling each resident and then also reaching out to frequent clients, since many of our clients come from off property. And whenever possible, we will have a Burmese navigator reaching out to Burmese residents and so forth, so that they not only get to hear information that's pertinent to this virus and to their economic security, but that they can ask us a lot of questions. And part of what they need to know is information, but they also need to understand the nuances, which often doesn't come through enough if we can't speak to them in their native tongue. So we're trying to be as culturally sensitive as possible and reach out to them with people who understand where they come from, and then also get their perspectives on what some of the challenges and what some of the opportunities for change might be. We've been really encouraged over the course of the last several months that our residents have really stepped up to share their voice and insight and helped us to develop a lot of different programming that would really make a difference. And I see that going forward as well.
Yes, it's difficult enough keeping up with the changing recommendations and the changing mandates as they continue to evolve. To be communicating this in all these different languages, an incredible challenge. We're having an incredible challenge getting people to know how it's evolving and how our behavior has to evolve here at the radio station KGNU. Looking beyond the crisis, when the situation begins to stabilize, what do you see long term, a month from now, 2 months from now, in terms of helping these people stay on track and stabilizing these large nonprofit housing facilities?
You know, I think your question a while back was about the eviction process, and Sharon talked a little bit about services. And I think it's always been the focus of both organizations. It has a rich history in providing services, and that will continue to be the primary focus. First and foremost, their overall safety, the safety of our staff and residents, and the proper communication, whether we are communicating what needs to be communicated, if we're over-communicating, under-communicating. This is new to all of us, this reality, and making sure that we can provide those services within reason, and that being anchored in safety, those considerations there. But we still plan to continue to provide the essential emergency-related services on property, as well as the services to residents, and we'll continue to work with residents and staff members to come up with creative solutions.
So COVID-19, having gone like nation to nation, spreading in certain nations and then other ones expecting to get it, it seems that even some of the messaging on the federal level has been that it's an opportunity to insert some xenophobia against other countries. Do you think that this international community in particular is in any way targeted because of the international nature of COVID-19?
I think that we have seen that there's been some hateful behavior in the last 18 months, particularly, where there's been a national sensation that has seemed to heighten awareness of differences versus the similarities that we all have and share. And so we've seen some of our residents being jeered or being talked to or being fearful to be in certain locations. And that might happen even more now, as that behavior seems to be accepted by some people across the country. But we will be vigilant in working with not only people in the community, but our police force and other groups to try to do whatever we can to increase safety for people. We already meet quarterly with the whole neighborhood and police to talk about safety issues. And so that's something that's been top of mind for us for some time. We're hoping it doesn't escalate, but we will respond accordingly if it does, to do everything in our power to keep our community safe.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is that the answer, the short end of it is yes, because it's the cumulative effect. This is impacting us all, but we know that certain groups and certain marginalized groups, particularly those, as Sharon mentioned, over the last 18 months or so, that have been targeted, I think that they're going to feel that pressure as we all are. So whether real or imagined, we have to make sure that we are prepared to meet some of those needs. And what I appreciate about Brendan getting this together or pulling this together is that it's a good show of collective impact. And as he mentioned, this is the very beginning. We don't know, you know, how this is all going to end up or the time frame for it, but we do know that we're committed to staying creative and thinking about ways that we can make sure that the residents we serve, that they are safe, that they are stably housed, and for those that are providing the services for them that are deemed essential, that they are safe so that they can go home and be with their families and loved ones.
From the East Colfax Community Collective and the East Colfax Neighborhood Association perspective, we see this as an opportunity to shift and prioritize resources. And as organizations, we have been calling out the fact that these communities, and especially the community of renters in our neighborhood, have for too long been marginalized from policy conversations and have not been prioritized in terms of the way resources are given and the way decisions are made in this community. So we're very hopeful that this crisis is hitting all of us. Also serves as an opportunity for us to recognize the invaluable contributions that these neighborhood residents have on our community. You know, these are the backbone of our community. They're working in the service industry and hotels, everything, the restaurants, everything that makes our community tick. And right now, this is community that is the community that's also going to be the hardest hit. If we don't recognize their contributions and recognize their leadership, and do something urgent, such as what Rocky Mountain and Hope are doing today, to get their backs and to stabilize them, then we're missing an opportunity here. And so we're really hoping that there can be a shift of understanding in how essential these complexes and these population is for our neighborhood, and that we can see a long-term better alignment in terms of how to provide more resources to the renters of our neighborhood.
For more information about the East Colfax Nonprofit Renter Relief Platform, you can email East Colfax Community Collective at gmail.com. That is Brendan Green. This is Dave Ashton. Until next time, peace.